on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the chair of the Irish Medical Organisation GP Subcommittee has today issued a stark warning to young people in Donegal playing Russian roulette with COVID-19. The incidence rate of the virus in Donegal is now the second highest in the country. Meanwhile, the second highest number of daily COVID-19 cases has been recorded today in Northern Ireland. Six recommendations have been made to the running of Letterkenny University Hospital following a recent report into gynaecology services. And Donal Kelly Jr. has been selected to become Donegal County Council's newest councillor. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Miriam Fitzsimons coming up at about 5:15. But first to news. The chair of the Irish Medical Organisation GP Subcommittee has today issued a stark warning to young people in Donegal playing Russian roulette with COVID-19. Local GP Dennis McCauley says while the virus may not have an adverse impact on the younger generation, their actions could potentially cause the death toll to rise among elderly and vulnerable relatives. 18 new cases of the virus were confirmed in Donegal yesterday, with the county now under a heightened threat of more restrictions. Dr. McCauley appealed to young people to be mindful.
For the last month, there has been a general, I used the term before, a bit of Russian roulette taking place, that younger people are saying, it's fine, I'm fine, I can go out, I'm bored, I really think that I can go out and get COVID, sure, if I get it, the aid is fine. But unfortunately, that Russian roulette hasn't worked. The bullet is now in the chamber, it has been fired. There are older people now getting that infection. So I think that, could I ask that younger people actually visualise the fact that a team member, to get it to simple, pragmatic, a team member, if you're a member of a team, of your football team, that team doesn't play that week. That's a very simplistic thing. At work, you would have to, if you go to work, all your work team members may have to go home, you'll lose financially. If this thing goes on nationally, you could lose your job. But more importantly, you could bring that infection home or give it to a friend who brings it home, to a family member who dies from COVID. So I just ask that they visualise that not as a simple thing in my regard, but as a societal thing, that it's really important that that infection could kill somebody. It may not kill you, but it will kill somebody. So look, and the following on from that, two very simple visual aids then, is that when you go out now in Donegal, particularly for the next month, assume anybody you meet has COVID. And the second thing is, for the next 2 to 3 weeks, socialise half as much as you did the last 2 weeks. Just, I think we know what to do. And I think if we can visualise everybody to follow those simple rules, and the under 40-year-olds to visualise that this has a finite risk beyond them, I think we can, I think sense will actually prevail.
The incidence rate of COVID-19 in Donegal is now 106.2 per 100,000 of the population, the second highest in the country after Dublin. It comes as a leading expert says Ireland is at the start of a second wave of COVID-19 and has warned a rise in deaths is inevitable in the coming weeks. Professor Sam McConkie is among a number of experts who's been appearing before the Oireachtas COVID Committee today. He's raised concerns about the country's ability to deal with a second wave of the virus.
I don't believe that the current testing and tracing and controls that we've had will be adequate to stop this ongoing rise. And the ongoing rise has already started to lead to increased hospitalizations, increased people in ICU, and I believe inevitably in 2 or 4 weeks, we'll, if it continues to rise, see more deaths. So while the deaths aren't happening much right now, to me it's an inevitability, given what's happened in the US and other countries, that will come.
The second highest number of daily COVID-19 cases has been recorded today in Northern Ireland. 220 people have been diagnosed with the virus and there have been no further deaths, according to its Department of Health. The total number of deaths in the north from coronavirus is 577. Well, the government is coming under increasing fire for cuts to the pandemic unemployment payment. While there's been another backlash, as it was confirmed, TDs will be given a pay rise under the public sector pay deal. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The opposition today trying to paint a miserly picture of the government, saying that on one hand the pup payment is being cut, while on the other junior ministers are getting advisers and politicians a pay rise. AIM2 leader Padraig Tobin, one of those attacking Micheál Martin.
It's reminiscent of the days of Charlie Huhy, when he was telling people to tighten their belts while at the same time he was purchasing Charvet shirts in Paris.
While others criticise the Low Pay Commission's recommendation of a 10-cent increase in the minimum wage, including People Before Profits Mick Barry.
On the way to the Dáil Chamber just now, could have bought myself a packet of peanuts and held it up in the air and asked the Taoiseach, is that what he's going to offer low-paid workers in the budget?
Labour's Jed Nash with a similar view.
How could you possibly say that the lowest-paid workers in this country are not deserving of a miserable increase that will only add an extra 20 cent an hour?
Micheál Martin did defend the government's decision on the pandemic payment, saying they needed to ensure its financial viability well into next year. While ministers are standing by their decisions, some do concede that the optics have been bad in a week when many people have had their pandemic payment cut. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Six recommendations have been made to the running of Letterkenny University Hospital following a recent report into gynaecology services there. The information was released at the latest sitting of the Regional Health Forum West following a query from Councillor Jerry McMonagle asking when will SEALDA carry out an immediate review of all departments and specialities at the hospital. Adrian Harmon has more.
The SEALDA Group commissioned a review of the gynaecology service at Letterkenny University Hospital in November last year. The Clinical Services Review report made six recommendations, including increasing capacity and staff capability, reviewing the referral and triage system for gynaecology patients, improving communication processes and improving governance structures. These recommendations are currently being put into effect by an implementation group within SEALDA. In addition, a national level oversight group will provide assurance that the recommendations are actively implemented within the agreed timeframe. A special measures team has been on site in Letterkenny University Hospital since early July, identifying and driving operational changes. In the report, Dr. John Price recommended that the gynaecology service at Letterkenny should undertake a self-assessment against the HICWA National Standards for Safer, Better Healthcare 2012. Work undertaken to date on the self-assessment is also to be expanded in the coming months to include all clinical services in the hospital.
Sinn Féin is to bring forward legislation to ban the practice of insurance dual pricing in Ireland. It follows a decision in the UK which will effectively ban the practice, which saw customers overcharged by as much as £1.2 billion in 2018 alone from the British insurance market. In October last year, Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty submitted a complaint to the Central Bank calling for the practice to be investigated and banned in the Irish market. The initial phase of that investigation found that the vast majority of insurance companies in Ireland are using dual pricing. Deputy Doherty says he will not rest until the issue is addressed here.
Indeed, the Central Bank just last week came out with their own report, which vindicated everything I've been saying in relation to dual pricing over the last couple of years. The Financial Conduct Authority, the Central Bank in Britain, have come out with their own report, and they have said that the issue is so serious that they are going to ban the practice. Now, it is high time that our government, for the first time, starts to stand up for ordinary consumers, whether you're a motorist, a homeowner, and need insurance. It is time that they took on this industry. It is time that they back the Sinn Féin legislation to ban these unfair practices that the insurance companies are getting away with. I will not rest until we bring about that outcome.
Donal Kelly Jr. has been selected to become Donegal County Council's newest councillor. Mr. Kelly is to be co-opted onto the council, filling the seat vacated by his father, Donal Kelly Sr., who resigned last week. It's believed that Donal Jr. was the only Fianna Fáil nominee put forward, with the deadline for nominations closing on Monday last. It's expected that an official announcement will be made at the next sitting of Donegal County Council on Monday. The seat was initially won by the late Councillor Manus Kelly, who was tragically killed in the Jewel Donegal International Rally last year. There are calls for funding to be urgently sanctioned to increase the number of home help hours in Donegal. Serious concern has been raised again over a shortage in home help hours in the county, as it's claimed the HSE doesn't have the resources to deploy personnel to some areas. Donegal County Councillor Michael McLafferty fears in the months ahead the service is going to come under even more pressure.
The staff's not there, and as a result then you have people that are in hospital through sickness recovering after whatever many weeks, maybe some case a couple of months. They're in a position then better to get home, but they can't get home then in some instances then. Many instances actually in this last while, they can't get home then because there's no home help in place for them. So if that happens, then the next course of action then is trying to get them into, as put it, the step down, a nursing home, wherever that may be, as usually as close as possible, but nowhere in particular. So then, as a result, then the nursing homes don't have the beds then, because they may have people already from the hospital in their beds waiting as well in the nursing home to get into home, to get in back to their own home for home health. So you have a trickle effect then. The whole thing's effectively starting to back up, and the whole thing's choking up. And I just feel it's getting more serious because more people are talking about it. I'm hearing about it myself on regular occasions. As you rightly point out, it's not a new thing. I'm aware of that. But I think at the same time, it's just no harm getting it out there and seeing what the public opinions are. Is there anything more can be done? As the powers that be, if they're listening, can they do anything more from Dublin, etc.? Because heading into the winter time going forward, it's only going to get worse. You have to feel sorry for anybody that's in hospital. They aren't wanting to get home or wishing to get home, but their requirements may have changed prior to going into hospital, and now they need home health maybe 2-3 times a day in some cases.
British Cabinet Officer Minister Michael Gove says talks are progressing on a trade deal between the EU and the UK ahead of the end of the transition period, but he's admitted whatever the outcome, things will change. There's a warning of huge disruption if businesses don't prepare for a potential no-deal scenario. Minister Gove has been explaining what could happen to thousands of lorries in Britain in the worst-case scenario.
That could mean that only between 30 and 60% of laden HGVs would arrive at the border with the necessary formalities completed for the goods on board. They'd therefore be turned back by the French border authorities, clogging the Dover to Calais crossing.
Three men have been arrested in Derry and Strabane in a police operation targeting the INLA. It's after people posed with guns in front of graffiti from the Republican group in the Gallia area of Derry City last year. The men aged 27, 28 and 30 are being held in Belfast after being arrested under the Terrorism Act. A senior PSNI detective has condemned the group's use of social media to spread the fear of violence.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time now for the latest in sport with Miriam Fitzsimons.
Thanks, Michaela. Sunday's Donegal senior football final meeting of Kilcar and Niamh Connell has been postponed. It's after a member of the Kilcar panel tested positive for COVID-19. The CCC have put the final back to the evening of Wednesday, October 7th, as a result. Fixture secretary in Donegal is Ed Byrne.
The decision was made yesterday for a number of reasons to postpone. One, the health of our communities. Two, we felt that if we put forward the county final and allowed it to go ahead, the identity of the person who is rumoured to be positive or who is positive, that their identity would become widely known by default by Donegal CCC proceeding with the game. But not only him, but also anybody who was asked to self-isolate and anybody who was in close contact would suddenly become identifiable, and that was something we weren't prepared to do. We weren't prepared to come out and start by default identifying people who have been asked to comply with HSE regulations and self-isolate. The reason for the 7th, if you count forward from the from a person receiving a test and diagnosed, the 10-day period would be up at that stage, and that's something that we did look at, that it allows us a bit of flexibility, that if we need to move out to a further date, we can do so. You know, the first game of the inter-county scene is not due, I think, until around the 17th, but if we need to go to the 11th or the 14th, we will put on a county final for the clubs if there is no cases of COVID-19.
Conor Glass is set to return home after calling time on his AFL career. The 22-year-old played 24 games for Hawthorn during his two-season stint in Australia, and he's now expected to link up with the Derry senior football panel. It's a potential boost to Rory Gallagher's side, who will be seeking to secure promotion to Division 2 of the National Football League next month. In soccer, Dundalk goalkeeper Gary Rogers says they're aiming to reach the group stages of the Europa League this season. The Lilywhites are away to Moldovan champion Sheriff in the penultimate round of the qualifiers tomorrow. Dundalk have won their last three games in all competitions, and Rogers is hoping that they can extend that run.
been good to kind of get a little bit of a run going. Difficult win last week away in Andorra, where we had a man sent off for, we had to play without Andy Boyle for 30 minutes, but we got the job done. So we're going into this in good form, and we look, it's a difficult tie. Every game in Europe is hard, and we're hopeful that you know, we can put a good performance together and get the right result.
In rugby, Ulster will begin their Pro 14 campaign on Friday, October 2nd, as they entertain Benetton. Leinster will begin their defence of the title with the visit of Dragons to the RDS on the same night. The following day, we'll see Munster go to Scarlets and Connacht play host to Glasgow Warriors. Monday night games have been introduced for the first time, with Munster the first province dipping their toe in that water at home to Cardiff on October 26th. Ireland women's coach Adam Griggs says it's brilliant to have flanker Claire Molloy back for the rest of the Six Nations. The former Irish captain will link up the squad this weekend following a one-year sabbatical. Forward trio Aoife McDermott, Edel McMahon and Claire McLaughlin will miss the matches against Italy and France next month through injury. Donegal duo Laura Feely and Larissa Muldoon are both involved with the Six Nations squad. Finally, in golf, Shane Lowry says his US Open performance gave him a sleepless night. Last year's Open champion didn't break 70 all week at Wingfoot and finished tied for 43rd. Lowry has been speaking ahead of this week's Irish Open that gets underway at Galgorm Castle tomorrow. The Clara native says he's still recovering from last weekend in New York.
Mentally and physically draining over the week. And yeah, I didn't really sleep on Sunday night afterwards. So I've got a good bit of rest the last couple of days, and like I said, I'm going out to play now. So yeah, I'm a bit, probably a little bit drained, but you know, I think when it comes to it, I'll get out there, and a bit of adrenaline will keep me going. I'll be okay.
That is all from the Highland Radio Sports Desk for now. We'll be back with more tomorrow morning. Thanks very much, Michaela.
Thanks, Miriam. And returning to some news, a document outlining a number of concerns relating to Buncrana has been published. The document, APE, Arts, Politics and the Environment, highlights what's been described as a lack of work being done on a number of outstanding issues in the town. The lack of a leisure centre, the long-awaited three-school campus and the old Garda station being sold off are just a number of key issues listed. Tony Grant, who produced the document, feels there's not enough progress being made.
I can't write about them all because you'd need a book to write about them all. And so it just keeps going on, and you know, I've mixed them up, like the environment and then the issues in the town, like arts and arts. There's plenty of arts group working around there, and there's plenty of environmental groups. And at the moment, the environment in particular seems to be really under attack in Buncrana, from Liz Fannin Beach. When you drive into Buncrana, just beyond Fawn there, we lost the blue flag.
Yeah.
And there's no talk about getting it back. And right through the town and down to Stergill Beach at the other end of the town, we're having problems with a special area of conservation, which is under attack. And despite the fact that there's so many people working locally at different groups, they never seem to, you know, get the big issues solved. They're working around, beavering away, loving what they're doing and doing their own issue. And there's lots of them. But, you know, these other issues and the issue of the environment, the bigger picture is not being looked at. The bigger view of Buncrana, in my opinion, is it's deteriorating. It's going backwards.
Almost €100,000 is to be invested in Armour Island. The Minister for Rural and Community Development, Heather Humphreys, announced the funding today under capital grants totalling €370,000 for three islands. The funding will go towards the resurfacing of roads, repairs to seawalls and slipways, and work on damaged coastal defences. Councillor Micheál Colmagill Asbaugh believes much more funding is needed.
We see money that's badly needed being invested in Armour. But yet other islands that we've been trying desperately to get funding for example, Enniscrea, that badly needs a seawall, less than the 100,000 that they're given for Fáinne and more, I guess, up to anyone. It's crumbs off a table. What we need is proper investment so that we can build the much-needed infrastructure that we need in our island community. We have a road infrastructure in our smaller islands that is nearly impassable now.
There was concerns raised previously about roads in Arnmore, particularly to do with emergency services. So hopefully this funding can go a bit towards that.
Yeah, Look, there's problems with the roads. If you look on Arnmore to the Ring Road, if you look at the road out to the lighthouse, and these are all essential roads that are very important. We have quite a high number of visitors that visit the island. And if anything was to happen on any of these roads, it delays the response from the emergency services because the government fails to invest properly into their infrastructure.
Weather now, further showers this evening with some clear spells. Tonight will start mostly dry with showery rain possible later in the night. Lowest temperatures of 3 to 5 degrees in moderate to fresh and gusty southeasterly winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the chair of the Irish Medical Organisation GP subcommittee has today issued a stark warning to young people in Donegal playing Russian roulette with COVID-19. Local GP Dennis McCauley says while the virus may not have an adverse impact on the younger generation, their actions could potentially cause the death toll to rise among elderly or vulnerable relatives. Meanwhile, the incidence rate of COVID-19 in Donegal is now 106.2 per 100,000 of the population, the second highest in the country after Dublin. It comes as a leading expert says Ireland is at the start of a second wave of COVID-19 and has warned a rise in deaths is inevitable in the coming weeks. Six recommendations have been made to the running of Letterkenny University Hospital following a recent report into gynaecology services at the hospital. The information was released at the latest sitting of the Regional Health Forum West following a query from Councillor Jerry McMonagall asking when will SEALSA carry out an immediate review of all departments and specialities at the hospital. And there are calls for funding to be urgently sanctioned to increase the number of home help hours in Donegal. Serious concern has been raised again over a shortage in home help hours in the county as it's claimed the HSE doesn't have the resources to deploy personnel to some areas. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, September the 23rd. The death has occurred of Damien Lafferty, 20, Ardmacool, Stranorlar. Funeral leaving his home on Friday afternoon at 12:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar at 1 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorlar. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to the family only, please. The death has taken place of Margaret Chambers, née McGlinchey, Doohan, Castlefin. Funeral leaving her home on Friday morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Castlefin at 12 noon. Private cremation afterwards in Lakelands Crematorium. The house is strictly private at the request of the deceased. In accordance with current restrictions, the funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish streaming service. The death has taken place of Anne Doherty, née Carlin, Upper Terry Rowan, Moville. Funeral Requiem Mass on Friday morning at 11:30 in St Columba's Church at Ballinacrae, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, a wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Donations in lieu of flowers to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Nora Rogers, Lochinure. Her remains will be reposing at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral mass on Friday morning at 11 o'clock in the Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. The death has taken place of Ivor Murr, 145 Lower Main Street, Strabane, and formerly of Waterside Derry. Funeral leaving his home on Friday morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church at Derry Road at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Dementia NI, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, churchservices.tv/Lickpatrick. The death has taken place of Richard Dickie Eaton, the Tops Rafoe. Funeral service in Rafoe Presbyterian Church on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the family plot. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the palliative care team Letterkenny, care of any family member or Gibson funeral directors. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Sadie Donovan, Mina Cueing, Gidor. Her remains are reposing in Rorty's funeral home, Derrybeg, this evening until 7:30. Removal from there to St Colmkill's Church, Knockfullet, to repose overnight. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. And the death has taken place of John Toy, 19 Ballyrain Park, Letterkenny. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Columbus Church, Drumahill, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Donegal Alzheimer's Association, care of any family member. In compliance with current government and HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment will be strictly private to immediate family only, please.